couple months ago when Tommy was planning the session, he called me and said, how would you like to give a talk on fiber quality challenges facing the industry? And my background is really fiber quality from a textile perspective. And so that's really, when I say cotton industry in here, that's what we're talking about. And although my name is the only one on this presentation, it's basically because when you're talking about quality challenges or issues, the folks in industry who have provided some input, we're not going to name them to protect the innocent, guilty, et cetera. But I'd start with some good news first. You know, and this is something Ed Hughes has been waving a flag on for a long time, that in the 15 years I've been working on cotton, domestic consumption has just been going down, down, down. But in the last, this is about the last 3 months, this is all that's been advertised, announced as far as new textile investment in the U.S. I'm not going to try to name this first group there. It's Indian conglomerate, and this is going to be their first mill outside of India. They're going to be building a $70 million cotton plant in Sylvania, Georgia. Parkdale's announced an $85 million expansion of their facility in Ribbon Gap. Gildan is investing $200 million in upgraded and new spinning facilities in three different locations in North Carolina and Georgia. And then just before Christmas, an announcement came out for a new startup called Gulf Coast Spinning right here in Louisiana that's going to be spending $130 million on a new ring and rotor spinning plant in Bunky, Louisiana, which most of you probably have never heard of, and well, it's Speed Trap. So that's my experience with Bunky. So why are we all of a sudden bringing all this production back on shore, which is a great thing? You know, part of it's distance. You know, the price has been very volatile. So being close to the fiber supply, it, you know, reduces the shipping times to the mills, reduces the shipping times from the mills to the consumers, and this allows flexibility. You know, we're hearing spinning mills are getting calls from their customers saying, hey, I want to make a finer yarn. I want to use less cotton. You know, I need to make just as many t-shirts, but I need a little less material so I don't have to raise the cost. When you have to go all the way overseas to do that, it's hard to affect these changes, so being close is a good thing. We have a very good workforce. We have a very efficient workforce. We have a well-trained workforce. Labor is a huge cost in textiles. You can run a U.S. rotor spinning plant running just about 1 million pounds of cotton a week with 40 people or less. You're not going to do that overseas. We can run a ring plant with 300 people. That would take an Asian plant 3,000 people to run. So even though we pay more, we use a whole lot fewer people. But in talking to a couple of these guys who are announcing new mills and talking to some other mills and saying, well, why are you bringing it back? I mean, I'm glad to hear it, but why? The overwhelming answer is energy cost. We have cheap energy compared to the rest of the world, and we have reliable energy, because there's really nothing worse than in the middle of a run, you lose power. You know, brownouts are no fun, blackouts are no fun, and having a textile mill here in New Orleans for the USDA, I've had more than my share experiences of brownouts. But we're here to talk about some challenges, and this is nothing new. Everyone pretty much has heard all these things. High micron air, contamination, bark, which seems to be the topic of the week, visible foreign matter, and stickiness is an ever-present kind of shadow hanging over things. So let's talk about micron air. Why is high micron air a problem? In order to make a yarn, you put some fibers into a yarn. A higher micron air fiber tends to be a coarser fiber, and that's going to limit how many fibers in that cross section of the yarn. So high micron air means I can only spin relatively coarse counts. For ring spinning, you'll always hear length, strength are important, as well as micron air, but length and strength are your controlling factors. For open end spinning, rotor spinning, what we do predominantly in the U.S., micron air is the issue. Absolutely. You know, I talk to rotor plants and like, well, you know, we'd like a 4.5, 4.6. They're getting 4.7, 4.8, 4.9. We've got a lot of bales that are 5.0, 5.1, and mills are having to question how they're going to handle that. They just cannot spin the yarn count they need. Micron air is largely genetic, although it's also a function of field conditions. So why is it? Well, I was asking a couple of breeders, and the answer was because about a 0.1 increase is roughly a 32-pound-per-acre increase. We've gotten great yield increases, but we need to task the breeders to try to do that, not at the expense of micron air. Like I said, so what's the solution really is, variety selection, properly time your harvest, and it's out of the ginner's hands. It's out of a lot of folks' hands right there. Contamination. When we're talking about contamination, we're talking about non-plant material. So, you know, plastics, this can be plastic bags, grocery bags, twine, plastic mulch, which is not so much a problem for cotton, but when you plant vegetables and then you use plastic mulch, it's becoming an issue. Rags. I still get every year a shirt or two sent to me from a mill, not for my use, to identify what is this little bit of red or a little bit of black or a little bit of blue. Sometimes it's twine. Quite often still it's a cotton rag. It's just a few fibers that have made it into that finished product, and that's a problem. And it can be any other sort of non-plant material. There's, you know, I've gotten grease complaints and asphalt and tar and oil and you name it, it'll end up eventually in a textile product. And of course, contamination is a problem because it causes these defects. It can cause defects in yarn or in fabric. In the yarn, sometimes we can get rid of them, but it slows the yarn production. You know, if it's a physical defect, like a piece of foreign matter that causes that yarn to break, that's a loss of production. We can get buildup of materials in the rotors, and that actually stops the rotor. It can be bad enough that the automated clearers and robots that we have that run the rotor spinning frames cannot clear out that rotor. Then an operator has to go and clear it, and until that's done, that position's not processing cotton. You're looking at a position that's producing 150 yards a minute. So if it takes a few minutes for an operator to get over there, that's a lot of lost production. That results in these ends down. If we're ring spinning, we can get rid of these defects during the winding process, but every time we remove that, that slows down the productivity. And time is money. So what are our solutions? Prevention. That's, you know, basically it's just prevention. You know, plastic mulch, yeah, they're biodegradable. That doesn't mean you can just disc it in and walk away. It's not going to break down overnight. It might break down in 2 years, 3 years. And in the breakdown process, it breaks into little pieces. Those little pieces are actually much harder than big pieces to get rid of. Rick's done some work where they put plastic into the gin stand, and some big chunks came out, and a whole lot of it was never seen again. It didn't disappear. You know, so it's nothing new. Walk your fields. If you're using rags, I mean, a lot of people have stopped using the red shop towels, but if you're using them, keep track of them because it still pops up. This is everyone's favorite topic this year, unfortunately. Bark. It's usually associated with early freeze, stripper harvesters. I start getting phone calls from some mills that don't use West Texas cotton. It was early in the season, so it wasn't from a freeze. And I got a phone call, Deborah and Thibodeau and I were meeting with a mill, and we asked them, do you have any bark issues? And VP of the mill said, what's bark? Hey, great, okay. So we explained what bark was, and so you don't have a problem, great. 2 weeks later he calls and goes, I hate you. I said, what? He goes, I have bark. I'm like, 2 weeks ago you didn't know what bark was. How do you know you have bark? You know, you're having a problem, but I'm not sure it's bark. Well, he emailed me a picture or two or three or four, and hey, it's bark. And like I said, it was new crop. It was from this past year and early harvest, so it wasn't anything related to the usual issues. You know, and y'all are familiar that AMS has an extraneous matter call for bark, and it has two levels, a level one and a level two. And years ago, Ken Bragg had led a study at the Clemson lab looking at the effect of bark on mills. And what they found was a level one bark call really had no impact on the mill. The mill wouldn't even notice it. It took a level two to really start showing up in productivity or in defects in the yarn. The questions I'm getting this year, the phone calls I'm getting are, these are bales with no bark being called. You know, and AMS tell you, if they see one or two pieces, that's not a bark call. But there's something about this bark that is causing problems. There's no easy answer, you know. We'll tell you, proper settings of the harvester. We have some new varieties that are very large, very bushy plants. Can be defoliation related, can be moisture related. It can, we don't know is the answer, you know. There's even a thought that maybe, you know, the bark that we're familiar with from stripper harvesting out in West Texas, maybe just something about that bark is different than the bark that we're seeing in the Delta and in the Mid-South where we're not used to seeing it. Because AMS isn't seeing it, and it's not there in giant quantities, but it's enough to cause problems. Related to that, I started getting some phone calls also about visible foreign matter. This is not so much leaf grade. This is actually the percent weight of the bale that's not lint. It doesn't correlate. Leaf is leaf is leaf is leaf. A leaf four is a leaf four from year to year. AMS does a fantastic job of that. If you have large leaf particles, they don't weigh very much. If you have small little pieces of seed coat, that's a heavy, dense piece of trash, so it'll be more by weight. Textile mills order and we sell cotton by leaf grade, not VFM. VFM, as Bobby was saying, you know, that's a Shirley analyzer can do it. It's a very slow test. It uses 100 grams or more of cotton. It takes 5-10 minutes to run a test. We can do it with APHIS, but it's a very small sample. But VFM directly relates to turnout in the mill, so it's a very important number to them. You know, we configure our equipment to remove a target percentage of that material, typically 90%. One of these mills that called me, I mean, they're a rotor mill, so they're running leaf 4. This is not the world's greatest cotton. Last year, they were seeing about 1.3% going through their carding machines and getting 0.17% out. This year, that same leaf 4 cotton, same specs, they haven't changed anything. They're running about 2.2% in and getting 0.22 out. Well, they haven't changed settings on machines, obviously, but that extra, you know, 0.05% is enough that that's causing them some issues in yield. It's also causing increased processing issues with ends down and defects. Again, there's really no easy answer here. Good gin and harvest practice, which you are all doing. We are working in the agency and some instrument manufacturers are working on better ways to measure this foreign, visible foreign matter. That there is a request from overseas mills in particular to, can we include that? Currently the answer is no, but hey, we'll look at it and see what we can do. The last issue is stickiness. It's an intermittent problem. It's relatively rare. There is not a sticky issue in this country right now that we know of. You know, it's caused by sweet potato whitefly, silverleaf whitefly, same animal, or aphids. It's excessive surface sugars. It's most common out west. Seed coat can stimulate this. You know, mills will start to see fiber wrapping and material building up. And I've gotten calls from mills and they say, is this seed coat? Is it seed meat? Or is this stickiness? If it, you know, if they're running roller gin cotton, they expect a little bit of stickiness. The data Ed showed earlier, he said about, you know, he had some questions about seed coat. We could see the buildup on our rolls. That's not stickiness in the same way. But this is a problem for mills that one or two bales in a 50 bale mix, if it's bad, will stop you in your tracks. And there is no solution for it. The mills will slowly add little bits of that bale, handfuls at a time, on the waste table and trying to blend it in because, well, you bought the cotton, you may as well use it. Prevention, which is pest management, you know, and it's not necessarily, you know, these are not always bugs that are attacking the cotton field, they're hiding in the cotton field. So, you know, your neighbor can cause you the problem. Detection is an issue because we don't really have a way to look for it until a mill runs into it. There are a few tests. They are extremely time-consuming. There's no one does them on a large scale. Research is ongoing to try to address that issue because, like I said, we don't have an issue, but if it is an issue, it's a bad one when it pops up, and it can hang over our head for a long time. Like I said, the good news is it's actually a really good time for U.S. cotton. We're increasing our production. We're ramping up consumption domestically. We're still exporting a lot of this yarn. We're not bringing the knitting and weaving back on shore, but we're definitely consuming more cotton on shore. But to stay in good times, we just need to stay alert and stay ahead of any issues. And that's what I got. Like I said, I'd like to acknowledge various folks at Cotton Incorporated throughout ARS and a large number of anonymous cotton industry folks. So, Tommy?
We have a quick question. You know, you talked about the good news, which was a little more green or spending here in the U.S., and one of the factors, of course, was energy and energy reliability. What about contamination of free cotton? The U.S. is noted as one of our most contaminant-free.
You know, U.S. mills like That has very few problems, but you know they also don't have a choice in the matter. So you know, contamination is something they don't want to hear about. They don't want to have a problem. And you know, I'm not hearing U.S. mills arguing that we have a contamination issue. You know, the plastic mulch has popped up, you know, this past year as an issue. You know, we always hear complaints about contamination, but we really don't have a major issue compared to a lot of countries. So. And our contamination is different. One thing we don't have is human hair. And human hair is, or even a lot of animal hair, that's damn near impossible to get out. So, that it?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Brock Faulkner. He's going to make the presentations for our student paper awards.
All right. Thanks, Harrison.
Well, we all know efficiency is key, so let's do this quickly. One, thanks to the Cotton Industry Support Group for supporting our student paper competition. They provide cash awards for our students that compete. We really appreciate that. We've seen some growth in the number of students coming to BeltLive. Appreciate that. Two, I really appreciate that when I have students that have questions and that want to go into this industry, I am easily able to send him to talk to Jenners, and you folks are just really great about teaching our students, you know, and sharing with them, and we really appreciate that. So let's do this and get to lunch. Third place in our, we had eight papers in our student support, or eight entries from students this year. Third place this year goes to Austin Lewis from Arkansas State University. And don't believe that he's here, but our second place winner is Danny Lures from Texas A&M. He's getting a $200 award. Come on up, Danny. And so make sure you tell him congratulations. And then first place this year, getting $250 from the Cotton Industry Support Group, is going to be Emily Christ from Georgia Tech. So appreciate that there's diversity in our schools represented. And thank you, folks, and we'll see you next year.